Club headlines.
Bruins get back to work tonight. They take on the Toronto Maple Leafs in Toronto. It's game four of their best of seven. The Bees with the 2-1 series lead. Everything all right? Let's check in with Bruce Cassidy talking about Charlie McAvoy in Game 3.
I thought Charlie was much better in Game 3 than Game 2. You know, he had a couple of hiccups there, and he found his game, played more. Pretty effective night for him. DeBrusk has been good. Steady, offensively making some plays. He's checked well. I think Dant, for the most part, has done a good job. Away from the puck, had a couple of looks the other night, hit a post, had a chance late. So Corrali, I think, has done a real good job. He's got, you know, I put him a little farther than the other guys because of his age and because of his experience last year in the playoffs. So he's been through it a bit. Been very good for us.
Yeah, had assessments from a lot of guys there. We'll get assessments from even more when Billy Jaffe joins Zolak and Bertrand next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. We'll have the call of the game tonight from Toronto. Puck drops just after 7 o'clock here on the New England Honda Dealers. 98.5 The Sports Hub Bruins Radio Network. Red Sox with another big win last night. 9-0 over the Angels in Anaheim. A grand slam for Rafael Devers. And 6 shutout innings from Rick Porcello. Eduardo Rodriguez to the mound tonight to get the start in the final game of the 3-game set. Celtics off until tomorrow night. They'll be in Milwaukee for a relatively late one. It'll be a 9:30 tip-off against the Bucks as the Green try and go up 3-0 in that series. Headlines are brought to you by Carrier. Turn to the experts for cooling season at Carrier.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Take us with you with the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'll do anything you want me to.
Download it and listen live to Boston's home for sports. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And Marchand out of the box couldn't keep it in. The horn sounds. And the Toronto Maple Leafs victorious here in Game 3. 4-2 over the Boston Bruins. The Bruins' lead in this best-of-seven opening round matchup has been trimmed to 2-1.
Billy Jaffe and Nesson with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Good morning,
Billy.
Oh, who was there before?
I don't know.
Holy loud.
I forgot it was hockey season, man.
Loud. I tell you something, that weather outside, and I never complain and I'm never griping about the weather. It's brutal today. It sucks. I'm ready for spring hockey weather.
It's school vacation week for kids. I'm sure your kids are home. It's just, your kids can't even go outside.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal if it's... I'll take 50, 55, sunshine.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to go out right about. You can't even leave your house.
That's your opening take. Your hot take is
I
that
like
the
it.
Weather outside sucks.
You know what? I was already sitting here listening to you guys.
I thought we were
going to
get you playoff level, Billy.
I'm
Jaffe,
ready.
Coming out of the gate.
No,
I'm
you're
ready.
Not.
I'm ready.
You're not
okay.
ready.
What is your biggest thought about Game 4 and what the Bruins will need to do, if anything, differently from the other night?
Have to be better
to take
in the
3-1
zone.
Lead.
Have to be better. They have to get their... Some other top guys. I'm not worried about the top line. You know, yeah, I want Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak. I mean, they're gonna be all right. I want the second line, Krejci, Nash, who, you know, the other game for game one was as physical as I've ever seen him play. And he's been okay. But I want to see him score at 5-on-5.
Three wasn't close to one.
He was
so good in game one.
Yeah, and two he was really
he was
good too.
Yeah.
But I wanna see that line, Krejci line, score an even strength goal. I'd love to see Kevin Miller, Torrey Krug rebound. But when it's all said and done, if that's bad for them in Game 3, they're still pretty good. But they're going to have to be better. Toronto's going to be rocking tonight. It's going to be crazy. And if they clean up neutral zone, especially second period, I think they're all right.
Bruins dropped Game 2, and I don't think anyone's really all that concerned about it because it's still a 2-1 lead. They've looked like the more dominant team. They did not play poorly in Game 3.
No.
If this gets evened up tonight, how do we feel about this series?
You know, this is a crappy answer. I'm going to tell you right now. It depends how they lose, Beetle. If they lose,
it's like more like Game 3. I'm with you.
If they play really, really well, Toronto's a 105-point team. This is not like you expect them to just all along. It's not a six. It's not a 4 or 5 game series. It's a 6 or 7 game. Now, if they go in and they do not respond, if they do not battle, if they turn the puck over, and if they have tepid defense, yeah, then I'm concerned. Then I'm really concerned. But if they compete, they battle, they do what they're supposed to do, and they end up losing a 1-goal game, I mean, I'm sitting here doing the hypothetical. I think I'm still okay with it in the sense that the Bruins, I think, are still the better team. Said it from day one. I thought it was a 7-game series from day one. I hope it's not for Bruins fans' sake. I hope it's a 5-gamer. But that would be pretty strong.
I was driving around Saturday listening to you on a hockey show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say that Frederik Andersen led the league in saves this year?
Yeah.
Like, you watch him. It seems like they get guys in front, like, tonight, get to the net. And it's easy to say finish. But get in there, poke
but you realize
around.
He went,
you're talking about, like, the bigger guys, right? Like Nash, you know, some of these.
All of them. Jake DeBrusk, get to the front. The fourth line's been outstanding. They really have. They've done their job. They get to the front. They create
Pasternak
stuff.
Pasternak, too. Get in there.
Yeah, get in. When he did in game two, he was around the net.
Off and it's more,
well, but that's
more
a different.
A finesse guy.
But that's
right.
A different thing. But
yeah.
But here's the thing about Freddie Andersen. Why do you have to make, you know, why do he face the most shots in the NHL?
Well,
he
reason.
Played a ton,
right.
First of all. He played a ton.
Yeah.
But second of all, the defense isn't great. I'm curious to see if Mike Babcock does anything different with his defensive pairs tonight. Does he keep Ron Hainsey with Morgan Riley? Morgan Riley's a player who had a hell of a game, I thought, in game three. But Ron Hainsey's been struggling. Do they keep the veteran together? Do they move the kid Dermott up? I don't think so. They only played him like 12 or 13 minutes in game three, but he's a good player.
You know, this type of break, too, you know, who do you think it benefits more?
That's an interesting question.
You're the road team. You're away from your family and friends. I mean, if you're home and you have that much time, seems like you got more stuff to do around the house. You kind of you're a little busier.
Well, here's the thing. The Bruins were considering coming home after game three. But given the fact that it was a night game and not an afternoon game, and given the fact that they've been traveling so much, they didn't want to take the chance getting home. I'm talking, you know how these triple overtime games go.
Right,
it's 4 a.m, and the guys have been traveling a lot. And then, so you have one day at home, then you got to get back on the plane again the next day.
Hey.
I don't know if you brought this up. I don't think I did the other day when I stopped in, but Pittsburgh, they had 2 days off in between games 3 and 4, just like this, in Philly. That's only an hour, not even. It's a 48-minute flight, just like the Toronto-Boston flight's an hour at most. Point is, Pitt went home from Philly instead of spending 2 full off days in Philly because they just didn't want the distractions and stuff. But the Bruins couldn't do it. That was an afternoon game that Pitt had. So even if they got done in double overtime at 7 o'clock at night, they were still home by 10, 9:30.
It's still a pain in the ass to get on a bus, get to the airport.
But it's not nearly as bad. I mean, and the other thing is the Bruins have to clear customs. They would have to deal with that. And I'm just telling I get why they stayed. I know they considered coming home, but they decided to stay. They had a full day off on Wednesday, video, meetings, that was it. Practice yesterday. I'm curious to see how they come back too. I am. I don't know who it benefits. You know, Toronto's like, let's get back on the ice. You can make that case, right? The Bruins are like, okay, let's take a little time to heal. Matt Grizzlick looks like he's going to play tonight, and that extra day helped.
No Komarov again tonight.
No Leo Komarov, no.
Out.
Yep.
Out.
The big
Dude.
Thing.
What would
the
it
big
say,
thing,
though,
this,
too? You know, real quick here, with Kadri being out.
Yeah.
You know, say you lose 2 games and you know they have these 2 games.
Kadri comes back.
Oh, he does? Went tonight?
Kadri, no, not tonight. Game he comes
five.
Back for game 5.
That's what I'm saying. If you drop tonight.
Is now his name.
Mm-hmm.
If you drop tonight.
He's got big Kadris.
What's that say about the team with him coming back if they even a series of 2 apiece?
Oh, that's something.
And you couldn't take advantage of him being out.
You're right. That's something that's got to be taken into consideration. But they played really well in game 1 when he was in the lineup.
Yeah.
I think when it's all said and done, the Bruins are the better team without Kadri.
O'Shea Oshanti and Kadri today.
Bad day names. Name your kids John.
617-779-0985. Let's talk some Bruins. Mark in Medford, just go ahead and lead us off. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? What's up?
What's up?
Billy, I noticed in the 3 games, Frederik Andersen lets up a ton of rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
If the Bruins can get a little more traffic in front of that net, they can put some second chances in. Your thoughts on that, Bob?
I absolutely agree. And I can tell you that I talked to a goalie coach, an NHL goalie coach, who knows him well. And I just asked him, I said, give me your take on certain things. This is right before the series. And he says, I haven't been able to see him much lately. This is this guy again. He's an expert. And he says, I do know that he's, you know, I haven't seen him much lately. I do know that he still has sporadic issues on deep angle plays, off angle plays. And the last I saw of him, I felt that rebounds were coming off his pads a little too, the term he used was lovely, and a little too loosely. I agree with it. I mean, Freddie Anderson has that combination. He's a big guy, 6'3", 6'4". He's a big guy, very athletic netminder. I don't know. I wouldn't go full Tim Thomas athletic netminder, but he's got an element of that in him. And if you watch at times his body, it's not what you'd call textbook, and therefore does give up rebounds, does give up stuff that you would say, hey, off-angle shot, Zdeno Chara. What a shot the other night. That is the epitome of an off-angle shot. So the goalie coach that I spoke with that saw him, and you know he's dead on that one. Yeah, get your ass to the front. That's going to be huge tonight.
Chris in Plainville, go ahead.
Hey, Billy. Miller, I think it's very important. This kid was really coming out defensively for the Bruins. He was playing his best hockey of the year, just to turn in the worst game of his year. I don't think it was effort. He was really pushing the puck good. He stayed out there too long for that one goal. He got caught up on that rush, and he was out there too long. I just think they need to double down on Miller, and I really think they need to support the heck out of him. He's going to be critical going forward. And when McAvoy hit that post with the skate, I kept screaming, throw a stone on that kid's skate so he doesn't keep falling down after hitting that post.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a good one. I'll let you go.
Thanks, Chris.
He's had a – it's funny. Actually, I shouldn't say it's funny. It's interesting. He had a few times in the previous two games where Charlie has lost his footing a few times. And sometimes it's just a rut. It literally is just a rut, and you go down. Sometimes it is the skate. But Keto, the Bruins, you know, equipment manager and Maddie and all the guys there are so good. They're so, I mean, they're on it. So who knows?
Is he wearing a brace on his knee?
Oh, yeah.
So could that impact the movement of his leg?
Absolutely.
Well, it could. But he told me that he got used to it and he's adjusted it. And if you watch his ascension, reacclimation is the better term, into the lineup, it struggled at first. But he's gotten better and better, and I feel like he's back skating. I thought last game he skated really well.
Why don't you give us your thoughts on the pairing of Krug and Miller and how they played in Game 3. We'll get to that coming up next. Billy Jaffe is with us in studio taking your calls on the Bruins as we get ready for Game number 4 of this series tonight. 617-779-0985.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Anderson down on his front, and they're going to wave the plate dead with the Bruins on the power play coming into the attacking zone. I mean, I understand if this is a peewee game or if there's a bone sticking out of his leg, but that is utterly ridiculous. I mean, the Bruins are on the power play. It's the third period of a playoff game. It's a one-goal game. And you're going to stop the play for a guy who's still conscious?
Excellent rant by Jack Edwards, part of the excellent coverage on Nesson, which continues tonight.
Love him.
For Game 4.
Passion.
Passion.
That was kind of a joke of a call, but wait, honestly, they're
brutal.
Official.
What if he had a pulse? What if he didn't have a pulse? What if the guy was actually dead?
Is consciousness the new benchmark for whether or not play can continue?
You're as an
even
official,
if he's not, just pull him to the side, push him off.
Well, an official, you're supposed to see if the guy can make an effort to get off. In a player, you're supposed to make an effort to get off.
He made no effort.
Made no effort whatsoever. Get up, at least. Make an effort to get up and fall down if
Wussy
you're going to act.
Wussy boy.
Get up, fall down.
This is turning into an
unlikable
team.
It's like the Canadians.
It is. They're starting.
You know what it's called?
They're getting dicky.
It's called they're becoming the big rival.
That's good.
Well,
that's what it is. And you
who is it right now?
They're becoming hateable. That's I wouldn't go so far as to say they're a rival.
Right.
You wouldn't say the Maple Leafs are a rivalry?
No, I'm saying we don't feel like it's a rivalry right now.
We felt
now.
Montreal was. Yeah, I mean, we'd love
one. I didn't say they're at the level of Montreal, but it's if they're going to be better than Montreal probably for the next couple of years. So that will, I think, help initiate a higher rivalry level.
I mean, there's some that would tell you that being an Original Six team like automatically makes you a rival when you're one of those teams with all the others.
Yeah. I don't believe that.
I don't know it's necessarily
true. The problem with the Bruins is they've had too many rivals in too short a span of time. When you think about, and Vancouver is always going to have a special place. Tampa Bay.
Starting to.
Montreal.
Always.
People will, there's still people say the Flyers.
I was going to say the Flyers are first and foremost.
So there's,
well, because a lot of other,
you can't have too many and still legitimately
claim them as rivals. You should understand this better than these guys, okay? Because it's very similar. The Bruins have.
It's going to be a Red Wings analogy.
I know it is.
No, it isn't. It's even better than that. It's a Michigan analogy. Yes. Because people consider Michigan their rival, unlike Michigan State.
Play a little hockey.
He's just a pompous jackass.
Everybody considers, a lot of teams consider the Bruins
their
rival.
School?
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Where'd you go to school?
A lot of people give, okay. But even without the huge
and Billy
track
likes to
record,
say you can't have a rivalry when it's the hammer and the nail.
Yeah, Billy, where'd you go to school, Billy? Did you go to Michigan?
I went to Maryland.
Did you always look at him as little brother? Did you always look at Michigan State like little brother?
No. I think junior college.
The defensive pairing of Kevin Miller.
Don't touch me.
We had a call about Kevin Miller and his struggles the other night. About him and Krug, who I don't think had his best night either.
Nope, they didn't. You're right. It's pretty obvious that they struggled with regard to some of their reads, some of their coverage. The caller alluded to or made a point about, and allude, he talked about getting caught out there a little long. They did. That was one of the things the Bruins, you started the show with, what do they need to do better? It's one of the things. Recognize shift length, recognize, you know, positioning. It sounds funny, but they gave, you know, a couple of feet more to the Toronto Maple Leaf team at certain spots, and that's all that team needs to generate speed. And Miller got caught in the middle a few times. The Matthews goal late in the second, which was a snipe shot. Awesome shot, but, you know, he was out there. Krug was out there. They were tired, but they also got caught in some bad spots. But it also, you know, you got to look to the forwards. The Bergeron line didn't get the puck out a couple of times. Miller was on the 2-on-1. He was out there with the Marlow 2-on-1. I would have liked Tuukka to I thought that was the one area where Tuukka could have held his angle a little bit more, really held it more right there. But Miller didn't have a great game. But, you go back to the comment you made about if they lose this game. Well, let's just say, personally, if Kevin doesn't have a good game again tonight, yeah, then I get a little concerned. I expect him to bounce back. I do.
Let's go to the phones. Marco is in North Carolina. Hey, Marco.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Question for Billy. I was watching the Tampa game last night only because I'm a huge Kucherov fan. That guy is just sick. Mm-hmm. The referee waved off an offsides, and then Tampa scored. Obviously, the Devils coach challenged it, and it was overturned. What happens to that ref? Does he get any kind of discipline or anything?
The linesman, you mean? The offset. Well, the line discipline. I mean, I saw some of the game.
He was on the line.
Yeah, I understand that. But if you're talking about a skate in the air and 3 inches offside versus 4 feet offside being egregious, I mean, they're graded every game, Marco. They're graded every single game. And if the supervisor and then the people, the NHL official, you know, the head of the officials is Steve Malcolm. If they feel that this linesman made a call that, you know, really was just wrong, was bad, not only because it went to review, but just because it was bad, he won't move on to the second round. Is he going to get fined or anything? No. You know what he gets fined for? He doesn't make money in the second round. They make money per round that they move on.
There was a story in 2015 that TSN did on discipline for refs.
Mm-hmm.
And they said at the time, they wrote, the discipline that an official might receive is almost always done in-house. It's
always.
Not public.
Yep.
And they said that officials are fined for any misinterpretations of the playing rules.
That's different than missing an offside.
Which is not missing a call. They are fined for not knowing a rule or misinterpreting a rule or applying it in the wrong fashion.
Right. And then the biggest thing for them is either A, not getting playoff assignments to begin with, or B, not moving on. That's where they, you know, that's where they take their biggest, not only financial, but also ego hit. You know, they want to perform well into the playoffs, far just like the players do.
And there was actually something in the story about a linesman who had missed 2 offside calls, and there wasn't really an accountability measure for missing a call in game. It was actually a Bruins-Leaf game. It was Trent Knorr was the linesman who had missed calls and how the discipline there was basically the guy knew he screwed up after the game had ended and was upset with himself, and that was it.
Well, it comes
and now you got a way to turn it over with the review.
And so a lot of times, you know, officials actually are erring on the side of allowing plays to go if they're really, really close. I think the linesmen are, Beadle, because they're saying, well, I don't know if they say internally, well, I have review to help me out if I'm wrong. But I think if they think it's really close and if they're not, I think they just say good. I mean, I've been a linesman. Things happen fast. You know, we have that clear, well, not always clear. We have a view from a different angles. They've got one little angle. That's it that they're working on. I'd say they probably get 99% of their calls right.
Jamie is in Boston. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
First of all, I just want to say something before and don't hate. I agree with you, Billy. I don't think this is definitely a have in a Boston rivalry because I'm from Montreal. Don't take that, hold that against me. It just doesn't feel like, you know, that type of atmosphere. Miller's first goal I thought was very good. I think sometimes you get underappreciated. I do think that Tuukka's goaltending needs to step up a little. I think he plays on a pad too much. And they did have a lot of opportunities and stuff the other night. And the one thing while you're on the call with, like, the linesmen and everything like that, quick question. I know it goes fast. I've been at all the home games and whatever. But for the delay of game penalty against Nash, if the call on the ice stands and they don't do anything, in that time, when the four could go over together, Cormier and whoever they were, what in that time happens when, you know, the ref ducked, it didn't, you know, it wasn't, I don't think, an intentional, you know, delay a penalty.
It doesn't matter anymore if it's intentional or not. That's irrelevant to the rule. The rule is steadfast. It is black and white, actually, the rule. If it is shot out of play from your own, behind your own blue line, so in your own zone, it is automatic, intentional or not, it is an automatic delay of game penalty. Now, she talked about the linesman. It was one of the four officials on the ice, the linesman on the strong side that was probably about 12 to 15 feet in front of Riley Nash. He's ducking because he thinks that Nash might be shooting it up the wall towards him, so he's ducking so he doesn't get hit in the head, at least he thinks. Meanwhile, the puck elevates and goes high to the glass. Now, I've contended this for a long time, or as long as we've had replay, or maybe not as long, but long enough where if I have to stomach the use of replay, which I am not in favor of except for goals, if they're in or not, and that's the only place I want replay. Only place I want it.
Because you have those delays on the offsides and that. Long ones.
Can't stand it, okay? But if we're not getting rid of it. I'm a realist. I understand that. So the logic says to me, you know what? If this is supposed to be such a black and white call, like a goal going over the line, then if you're really not sure about if the puck hit or not, then make the call to go to replay quickly and see if it touched the glass. I think they could have done that. One of the officials didn't see it because he ducks. The other three get together, and I think one of them at least had to say, yeah, I saw it go out. And the other guy said, well, I thought it went out. And then, therefore, they go with that call. I'd rather them take the minute, go, highlight it, see if it hit or not. And if it's inconclusive, then you treat it the same way you treat an inconclusive goal going across the goal line. The call on the ice would stand.
617-779-0985. Billy Jaffe is with us. Bruins getting set for their matchup tonight against the Maple Leafs in Game 4. We'll get to more of your calls on the Bruins to talk more about this game tonight after we get headlines with Hardy.
Sports Hub Headlines.
It's an optional skate for the Bruins this morning ahead of their Game 4 tonight against the Maple Leafs in Toronto. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers will have the call, as always, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Puck drops just after 7 o'clock. Billy Jaffe on with us now to talk about the game. Red Sox 9-0 win over the Angels in Anaheim. 6 shutout innings from Rick Porcello. The grand slam from Rafael Devers. And tonight, Eduardo Rodriguez will try and complete the sweep as he gets the start to wrap up the 3-game set. Danny Ainge on with Toucher and Rich this morning. He's happy with his team 2 games into the postseason.
We've made a lot of big shots, timely shots. Very fortunate to win game 1. Could have gone either way. And then, I thought Marcus Morris gave a great bench scoring. And it's going to be a tough environment in Milwaukee.
Celtics off until tomorrow night when they do, in fact, visit the Bucks and try and go up 3-0 in the best of seven. Headlines are brought to you by Pride Chevrolet, always the best price on the Linway and Lynn, pridechevy.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
The Indeed.com time and temperature is 38 degrees at 11:36. Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the Bruins slid out. Did it get deflected?
Yeah, it went off the glass, I thought.
The officials are going to confer.
Oh, they are going to call a penalty. I thought it went right off the glass. See it on the replay. It's obvious.
Well, not to the four guys wearing the striped shirts down there.
Oh, no, that went right off the glass and into the crowd. It's not even, that shouldn't even be close.
No, it wasn't close. It was an embarrassing call. Embarrassing miss by the officials on the ice. It's bad. That was a bad one. Billy Jaffe is with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios.
Hi.
617-779-0985. We've had some calls today about Tuukka. You yourself have said that Tuukka could have taken a better angle on one of the goals.
Marlowe goal, last one. His health, I thought he just lost his angle.
There, we got some criticism, how many days ago now? 2 days ago, after the game, for the third goal, which was, to me, Billy, a complete breakdown on the ice for the Bruins, being unable to clear the puck.
The Matthews goal.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that it was a snipe shot, and the Bruins were straight leg.
That's not the goal I'm thinking of. Not the Matthews goal. So it would have been
the first goal was Van Riemsdyk rebound, where Tuukka, Chara didn't get the stick of Van Riemsdyk off the faceoff, and Tuukka had the puck hit him quickly off the draw, and he just dropped it there. I mean, would I have loved for him to angle it to the corner? Sure. Okay, but bang, bang play. The Marlowe goal, the second goal, the stretch pass goal, he gets that pass from Marner after the puck goes through Kevin Miller. Remember that one, 2-on-1, and he passes across there. That's a
2-on-1 he had no shot at, right?
I didn't think so.
I thought he was cooked on that.
The Marlowe goal was the third goal. The goal on the 2-on-1 the other way, where he came a little bit further to his right, blocker side, and it beat him 6-hole, 7-hole, arm side. I thought that one he lost his angle there. The last goal, or I beg your pardon, the Matthews goal was the third goal then. Yeah, Marlowe was number two. Matthews was three, and then Marlowe was four again. Marlowe had 2 2-on-1s. So I don't know which one you got they got criticism for. I mean, the 4-2 goal is the one I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the 3-2 goal.
The 3-2 goal is the Austin Matthews goal.
Right, where they had the puck in the zone for what felt like forever.
Forever. They didn't get it out.
Yes, and then that's the goal I'm talking about.
Yeah,
yes.
And the D got straight leg. That was Miller and Krug out there watching it after the forwards didn't really get,
I didn't put that on Tuukka.
I did. Barry talked about, maybe Tuukka on the air, and I didn't totally agree. I thought it was a snipe.
So we do agree.
Yeah, yeah. I thought
it's
so.
It's a long way of getting there, you and I agreeing on that.
Yeah.
But we do. I'm not putting that on the goalie, and I don't think the goalie has been bad in this series.
No, he was. He needs to be better than he was in three, like the rest of the team. But he wasn't bad. No.
617-779-0985. Pat in the car on both Tuukka and the refs. Go ahead.
Hey guys, yeah. So I'm not going to say much about Tuukka. I just would really like to see him maybe steal a game for the guys here and there. I know forward score, defensemen help keep the puck out of the net, and goalies are. To supposed to stop the puck, so that's all I'm going to say about Tuukka. But as far as the calls, I'm with you, Billy. If the four guys you're going to meet, if the four refs you're going to meet in the middle of the ice, they got to review it. If you're going to review one, you got to review them all. It's in the playoffs, definitely. It's too close margin. And if you're giving up a penalty and then they're scoring on it, you got to review them. You just got to review the call.
I agree. And to me, it's my fear always, though, is this, that we get over-reviewed. But there has to be some logical thought process here on black and white call. Like, you can't review a trip. I don't think you should be able to review a hook,
watch
a
what
hold,
you wish
or whatever.
For. Watch that, what you wish for, because the NFL did this with the catch rule, and then they end up taking it away once it gets black and white. You got to watch what you wish for here.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're not sure about shooting it out of play off the glass or not.
Take a quick peek. We got camera angles. Sure, you
that's what I'm saying. Use it.
Use it.
Use it. Yeah, I'm with you. I know. I just don't want it to be over-reviewed. That's when it's all said and done.
Thanks for the call, guys.
Yep.
All right, Pat. Well, appreciate
you us,
it.
Pat.
He means thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for the call.
Ken is in Rhode Island. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Billy, how are you?
Hi, Ken.
Listen, two things that are really driving me crazy throughout the play in all series. And the first is the number of guys getting thrown out of the
field. Yes. Circle. Yeah, we're going to touch on that tonight on Nesson.
And the other thing is the ticky-tack slashing calls, you know, without us, not including a scoring chance. I mean, they've taken this way too far with the stick on the hands, and I think it's just getting way out of hand.
You know, it's funny. I agree. It's an easy call for officials to make when you see the stick up and you see it hit the hand arm area,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And so that's an easy call for them to make. So I think as you try and get inside the head of an official, which is not easy, again, given the speed, and, you know, we've got these clear looks. We never know exactly where, you know, we can't relate using a replay to being on the ice an official. You just can't say, hey, see what I saw? Because the officials are positioned differently. They have bodies in front of them. The speed is different, et cetera. But the stick on the hand thing is easy for them to call usually because there's a distinct movement of the stick. And sometimes the guy who gets hit in the hand shows some type of movement that shows it. And so they've been told the mandate is to eliminate that stick on hand. Slashes like that. I agree at times it gets too soft.
Ticky tack.
Exactly.
That's what it becomes.
Yeah.
Which nobody really wants.
I agree. Now we've had some huge hits and everything. You know, a lot of people are frustrated with the Kucherov. I don't know if you guys probably didn't see it last night in the Tampa, New Jersey game. Nikita Kucherov hit a guy, Sammy Vatanen, hard, really hard. I thought it was body contact, though. I did. I thought it was primary point of contact was body. Svatnin couldn't play the rest of the game. I thought it was a vicious hit, and I've said on your show so many times, Beatles. So, you know, one of the things that we love about these contact sports is the violence factor of it. But that means sometimes on clean hits, people are going to get hurt.
Well, along those same lines, what did you make of the one-game suspension for Josh Morrissey?
I thought he deserved
it. For hitting Eric Staal.
Did you see that replay?
I did. I mean, yeah. It's vicious.
That's Winnipeg against Minnesota, if you're right. Not following it, folks. Josh Morrissey's the same defenseman that hit Matt Grizzlick near the end of the season at the end of the second period with a distinct charge. I thought that one was marginal. Now, did Grizzlick basically admitted to almost turning and putting himself in a bad spot, too. But still, I thought the point from where Morrissey came from in that Bruins-Winnipeg game was enough to warrant, you know, major five, et cetera, maybe a suspension. This one, while he said, I didn't mean to do this, it doesn't matter if you mean to do it or not. You caught Eric Staal in the head with a two-hand cross-check to the head. You caught him with that.
A game feels a little heavy, though, doesn't it?
Are we doing this again?
I mean, a game feels like, I understand.
Head, but he hit him.
What you
know what the argument on this, I get what you're saying. You know what happened?
If he was missed it on the ice.
Right. If they gave him a five-minute major on the ice.
That would have been appropriate.
Then he didn't leave.
Right. And I think.
Game misconduct, you get the game.
And, well, he wouldn't have gotten a game because Staal wasn't hurt.
Okay.
They could.
That's right. So they
wanted
to.
Right.
Okay.
But even giving a five-minute major, I think the league would have probably said maybe not. But I do think that there is something that factors in.
617-779-0985. Joe is in Quincy. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing? So I'm listening to you guys talking about the refs and making these ticky-tack calls, barely touching the hands, and they make the calls. I've been reffing since I was 13, 33 some odd years. Some of them are just instinctive, and the arm goes up. And some of them, they don't appear as bad as they were when you first looked at it.
Yep.
They look up at the scoreboard and they go, damn, that wasn't what it was.
Yep.
But these pucks going over the glass, it's an automatic penalty. Well, they should have an automatic ability to go review and make sure, because you got four guys on the ice. Two of them are supposed to be watching the puck 95% of the time, and the other two are supposed to be watching the players.
Yeah, you're. So they should. They got to be able to review it, and just because they think they have their eye on the puck, and you know, there's fans in the background, and then there's the speed, and then there's guys that get in the way. I mean, make it quick, but utilize it. If we have to have it, which we do now, utilize it.
We'll wrap things up with Billy Jaffe coming up after this.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, this is what I do know about this series is that we're playing game four and we need to win. I think we're in a real good spot. I think this will be the most competitive game so far in this series. Obviously, they're going to be ready to play. Anytime you don't win, you want to bounce back hard. We expect their best game for sure.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
There's Babcock.
It's going to be great.
See, that's where I start to worry. Because the Bruins came out flying in game one. We were worried, well, they didn't have passion from Sunday night. Which team we're going to get, the 50-win team? Because I expect to see the 50-win team, which we did on Thursday night.
Yep. And Saturday.
Now it sounds like the script's flip. Okay, we're back in this series. We got a couple days
off.
Sure
they are.
Whose building is it? It's our building. Yep. They're going to come out. They're going to come out like fire tonight, meaning Toronto. You're going to be able to withstand that first period. Early freaking goal. Just one.
See, I think the...
get an early one, man.
I mean, of course, first period's important. I get it. I understand that it's going to be... But I always talk about how do you respond after goals are scored, and the Bruins didn't do a great job with that last game. There was, you know, that quick Marleau goal.
They locked him up at two-piece.
But then they tied it.
What was Chara doing on the bench when he called them all up?
He was talking to certain players and giving them a bit of a stern lecture, it appeared.
Who did you
it
read
also
into
could
that
have been.
For?
These guys, they need to get tighter in certain areas. But Z's so intense. He's so intense.
Yeah, look at the wacko look.
He could have been asking them where they wanted to go on their off day.
When people have to get pizza after the game. I have an 18-pack on ice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who knows? I think that the Bruins' response after goal, both when they score and then the Bruins score in particular, they've got to be sharper there. I look tonight for the Bruins to, you know, second period. I know I've talked about it on the Nesson Post Game Show. Talked about it earlier this week. Talked about it on the podcast. Everything. Second period. Let's see how they adjust so they don't get gapped out too much. I also want them to attack. See if they attack. I said earlier in your show, fellas, about does Babcock do anything with the Ron Hainsey, Morgan Riley D pair? Riley's been the guy who's carried the puck. He played really well in game three. Hainsey's turned it over a lot, hasn't done nearly as much with it. Maybe they keep attacking him and get their ass to the front of the net. Constantly. Constantly get there.
617-779-0985. Rich in Syracuse. Go ahead, Rich.
Rich?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, Rich.
Rich.
Good call.
Yeah, hey.
Hey. Hi, Rich.
Syracuse. Let's
How you
go.
Doing, man?
I've just been waiting for about the last half hour and a half, but I don't care.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks for waiting, Rich.
Yeah, sure.
What else going on today?
Nothing much. I'm just calling in because all this news about the draft event in about a week, and all this news regarding it, Pat's got a lot of need.
Yeah, football.
They need a successor for Nate Solder, an eventual successor for Brady, and they need talent at linebacker and edge rusher. I'm just wondering how you guys would rank those in terms of how the Pats should prioritize them in the draft.
Pass rusher versus left tackle, is that the question?
Well, Brady, quarterback. Brady replacement.
Oh, okay.
Sound worth 90
linebacker,
minutes to hang on for.
Left tackle, quarterback.
I go linebacker, left tackle, 1A. I put those close. Then it's a distant, maybe tight end.
Oh,
I'm tired. You don't like seeing all these a lot of promotion pictures of the Nicholas kid. You know,
yeah.
Why are they doing this? Meaning team, he's available. Hey, look, here's Troy Nicholas. Nice little story here.
It's voluntary.
They're getting you ready.
Voluntary. Guys have to step up and say, yeah, I'll talk to the media.
Oh, do they?
Like his attitude.
Just seems like James White's one of those guys. Just, you know what? I'm going to go out and
go-getter.
Way to talk
you should get to Duncan. Get the go-tos.
Yeah. Well, which one would you get? I'd go with the latter. I'd go with the 2 for $5 because we're getting close to lunchtime. So
yeah.
It kind of fills you more, like sticks in your ribs.
Some bread on that.
You think Rich in Syracuse is getting?
I don't know.
It's hanging out down there.
Howard in the car is a Bruins thought for Billy Jaffe. Hey, Howard.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
So, big Bruins fan, longtime fan. And so,
big fan.
I watched the Penguins Flyers game last night, and I watched some of that, just a little bit of it, and a couple of power plays that the Penguins had. And I said to myself, especially on that goal that Malkin scored from Kessel, what a great pass. And I said, you know, Pastrnak was just a little more patient, you know, like Malkin was last night when he scored that goal. And he had the whole net like Pastrnak did the other night. We'd be talking about a 3-0 Bruins lead instead of, you know, a 2-1 series. I think sometimes he's just so impatient. And I just wanted to see what you think, because I think those two teams have comparable power plays.
Well, I mean, lately they've had comparable power plays. Over the course of the year, the Penguins have been dynamite, and so has Toronto. I mean, Pastrnak is still young to say that he'll continue to get just that millisecond more patience. I think he's going to get it, and that just comes with experience. So, I don't think he's criticizing Pastrnak. I think he's just hoping, he's wishing that he scored that goal. Because, yeah, maybe it is 3-0 then, you know, if they tie that up. But the patience factor, you know, look, early in the year, Pastrnak wasn't hitting the net enough, and he was breaking sticks all the time. Doesn't seem to be breaking sticks nearly as much, which is a good sign. And secondly, he's getting his shot off now. He's not missing it. So whatever he did to retime it, re-engage it, it's great. Now, he'll, you know, look, it's hard to argue. He's leading the playoffs in points. I mean, it's pretty impressive what David Pastrnak is doing. And I should say Sidney Crosby is up there now, tied with
him. What's your favorite stick, Billy?
My favorite stick?
I hear a lot of bitching about these composite sticks. Like, I hope he breaks one so Jack could go on one of those rants again.
I mean, I like...
Really,
there's different brands. It's different brands. It's not about which one's going to break more or not. Sometimes it's actually just how that stick was made, that run. I mean, some guys like Warrior, some guys like Bauer, STX. Years ago, I used Easton. I don't know. I mean, there's all different brands of sticks. I mean, I've used whatever I can get my hand on for free right now. I used the CCM last summer. I got a few buddies, but Warrior and Bauer have been really good to me.
Look at you getting that in there.
Yeah.
Well, he asked.
Anybody's looking to help Billy out with some
good news is
some
that
I don't
product. Get him some product, people.
I like a good old school wooden Christian hockey stick, if you don't mind. Maybe a Sherwood.
I never really used Sherwood. I used Titan. Do you remember that one? Titan?
I don't know if I remember that.
Yeah, I used Titan sticks for a while.
Coho, Christian, Sherwood.
Christian. I used Christian.
Yeah,
the Flying Jew used Christian.
How about that Flying Jew using a Christian?
I used Christian and I used Titans for a while. And then I remember this vividly when I was freshman, before my freshman year at Michigan, the two-piece aluminum sticks came into play, and there was a guy with Easton.
Kill people in them.
Well, they were heavy. Yeah, they're funny. Now they seem heavy, but at the time. Yeah. And I remember you took the torch and you inserted blade into the aluminum shaft. And I remember the guy came in. It was a rep. And he had the Donzi shoulder pads, which were like football shoulder pads.
I wore Donzi.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. And then he had these Easton sticks, and he said, hey, you want to try one of these? And I was up there training and helping out teaching the hockey school.
Looked up Titan hockey sticks. I totally remember that.
Do you? Blue ones in front of you? Do you have a blue one or no? What color is it?
It was like a wood tone one.
Okay. No, I used a blue Titan and for about 2 or 3 years in, you know, midgets and then in junior in high school.
No, that looks too new.
The old Titans were great. Oh my God, we were the Titan line at the prep school where I spent 1 year finishing up my high school. We all had Titans, and then I moved into these Easton two pieces and stuff, and it was fun. You know, I mean, you try out different things.
Let's get one more call in here, all Pete, right. In the car before we let Billy Jaffe go. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, what's going on, Mark? I appreciate it. Hey, Billy, quick question for you, man. Big game, obviously a potential to see, you know, get that win, bring it home, see what we got to do. Any concerns with Tuukka Rask being able to keep his head on straight, man, and not have crowd noise, whatever it might be? We realize goalies are a certain breed. Do you think he's going to be able to steal one and be able to
do what he needs to do for us tonight, I'll take the call for it. Thanks, man.
I'd love for him to be able to. I'd love for him not to have to steal the game. I'd like him to be able just to do his thing and be able to control his portion of the net. You know what I mean? His part. But yeah, I'd like to think that he can. Let's talk tomorrow, man. Either I'm right or I'm wrong on this one.
All right, Billy Jaffe tonight. Guys. Pre-game coverage on Nesson starting at 6. Yep. And the Bruins and Leafs will drop the puck at 7 o'clock. And
on Nesson.
You can hear that on the radio right here on the Sports Hub with Judd and Bob Beers and both the radio
Hopefully
crew
they can
and
fly
TV
home tomorrow.
Crew. Did they rent a car or did Zap Beersy's car?
No, they rented a car.
They rented it.
Yes.
So was right.
Smart. Yes.
So they can fly home.
Yes.
Smart.
Yes, absolutely. The drive up there's a lot easier than that 9-hour drive home.
Did you hear anything about the trip up?
Yeah, you
was,
stories?
Was it uneventful?
Very little. The car didn't it was civilized, I'm told, which
you
was
Jack's glove?
Shocking, and it didn't need to be defumigated. I don't know, it wasn't filled with beef jerky and Cheetos, you know? It was all right.
I bet Judd got seated behind Beersy, behind the driver. Worst seat in the car.
Think Judd and Jack had a couple road sodas, a little sitting in the back, those two little suckers?
No, I don't. I don't.
All right.
I haven't talked to Judd about it. He'll be home tomorrow.
Okay, he'll be literally at your home tomorrow.
Yes.
Thanks, Billy.
See you, guys.
See you, Bill.
Hardy has our headlines, 90 seconds, then we get back to the noontime hour, including some football thoughts and any schedule leaks yet there. So I have one. I have an update. I have a schedule
Beetle has a
leak
big
update.
Schedule leak update, and I am efforting more.
It's more of a small leak than a big leak. But
it's a big one for people like the plan. Okay.
We'll get to that in 90 seconds after these headlines.